Hi, I'm Red Sox broadcaster Will Fleming. Everybody talks about how I'm Dave Fleming's younger brother. How about more talented and better looking? You're listening to Bay Area Sports Wrap.
Welcome to Bay Area Sports Wrap. Alongside with Ryan Leong, I am Marco Kolovich. The city of Oakland is about to become a ghost town with the news of the Athletics leaving the city after 57 years of history when they announced it this past Thursday. Starting next year, they will play their next three seasons in West Sacramento at Sutter Health Park, which just so happens to be the home of the San Francisco Giants AAA affiliate, the Sacramento River Cats, before making their permanent home or their permanent move to Sin City. Now, joining us here is to discuss why John Fisher needs to get tar and feathered and then thrown off the Bay Bridge as veteran reporter Ben Ross. Ben has previously covered the A's on NBC Sports California, and currently he writes for the Associated Press and calls games for the Pac-12 Network. Welcome to the show, Ben.
Hey, thanks for having me. Good to be with you guys.
It's good to see you and be with you here on the show, and we thank you for coming in and giving us some of your time. Now, let's start off with, you know, this whole deal needs to still be approved by the MLBPA, but assuming they do, is this the darkest day for A's fans and the East Bay?
Oh, yeah, I think so. I mean, again, it's not necessarily a surprise. We kind of knew this was coming or something like it. But, you know, it still hurts for A's fans, for Oakland A's fans. I mean, you know, there's always been some hope, and there is still some hope that the Las Vegas deal doesn't work out because, I mean, let's face it, John Fisher and his crew kind of screw up everything that they try to do. But the fact that we now know that the team is leaving Oakland, going to Sacramento next year, as you said, assuming that it gets approval from the Players Association. I mean, that hurts. You know, this is a team that's been in Oakland for a long, long time, since 1968. And to have that official word that they're going to another city, it hurts.
And you look at, this is going to be the final season here in Oakland, so give me a reason, if you can come up with one, on why the A's fans should now care now about wanting to come to the games and support them for this final, 78 games they got left now?
Yeah, I mean, look, that's a great question. And I think, you know, I feel like A's fans are going to have to – it's interesting because I don't think you can really judge A's fans for what they decide – this season, if they want to go to one last game, if they want to go to a few more games, if they want to boycott. I understand it all. I mean, I personally would never give a dime to this ownership group, but at the same time, the A's, for so many people in Oakland, have been a huge part of their lives and they're, you know, for generations, families. So I totally understand if people want to go to another game, especially the last game, see them a couple more times before they leave. But yeah, it's tough. I mean, I don't envy, you know, I didn't grow up here, but as you said, I've covered the team and gotten to know the fan base. And these are some of the most knowledgeable and passionate and just great fans in the world. And I feel for them because, you know, they're being screwed over by a greedy Nepo baby billionaire and and really a dysfunctional league and a bad commissioner.
Yeah, hey Ben, it's Ryan Leong here. Thanks for joining us. And we followed you, of course, on Twitter and your contributions here at Bay Area Sports Wrap. And your tweets get a lot of either views, retweets, mentions, quotes, however you want to put it. My question to you is this: how much blame do you put on the city of Oakland? I mean, the last three mayors to me have all been pretty inept, starting with Gene Kwan. Libby Schaff supposedly tried to do her best to keep the A's here, and then Sheng Tao, I think, has kind of had sort of, I don't say martial law, but she sort of kind of put her foot down. And I don't know if she's really been really that genuine about negotiations. So how much blame do you put on the city of Oakland?
It's tough because I think there is some blame to go on Oakland. Not much. I mean, when you're doing percentages, I'd say at least 90% of this is on the A's organization. And, you know, on some level, I do give Oakland credit for holding their ground in some areas and not just, you know, giving handouts indiscriminately, especially to a dysfunctional franchise and an owner who has not done anything to earn it. But at the same time, there's no question. I mean, I wouldn't put it all on the mayors over the years for Oakland, but just in general, you know, the politics are tricky in Oakland. And I think there have been some people on city council and, you know, you look at the county and there's been a little dysfunction there too. But again, I think this is a different case. You know, people will point to the fact that Oakland has lost three teams now, which is awful. I mean, you know, the Warriors at least are still in the Bay Area. Then the Raiders to Vegas and now the A's. I think they're all very different, and I don't think it's fair to lump them together. I think the A's are their own unique level of awful and how they've handled things. So, yeah, I mean, look, there's blame that can go all around, but to me, the overwhelming majority of the blame goes right to John Fisher, right to Major League Baseball, the owners, Rob Manfred, because you're seeing this is now starting to happen in other cities too. Yeah. Other cities feel other owners feel emboldened to hold their cities hostage. And, you know, thankfully recently Kansas City had an actual vote and they turned down, you know, they voted against the using taxpayer money for a new stadium in Kansas City, which good for them. And I think every city, if they put it to a vote, would vote against it. So yeah, to me, it's just, I've grown really tired of the act from the A's and from Major League Baseball.
Just imagine you're going to have lowable seats. You're going to have Geloff at second base. You're going to see Otani. You're going to see Aaron Judge hitting home runs out there. This is what an incredible day. This is epic. It's historic.
Yeah, it's really sad because from what I understand, Vivek Ranadive, the Kings and Rivercats owner, is good friends with John Fisher. Mm-hmm. And same as how Fisher took ownership in the first place because he took it over from Lou Wolf, who was friends with Bud Selig. So this complicit relationship, if you will, is kind of, you know, spanned decades. That being said, when you look at the A's situation, I mean, how much of it can you blame also with, like you said, the other people involved, and how do you fix something like that? Because, you know, you would think that, you know, fans love sports, but they don't want to be, you know, giving handouts to public taxpayer handouts to billionaires.
Yeah, that's 100% right. And I think that there have been so many bad decisions made in this A's process by the A's, by Major League Baseball, by the other owners. Like, I mean, just yesterday, there, you know, Buster Olney from ESPN put out that tweet that all these other teams, there's frustration among the other teams about how this is going and how, you know, the A's are moving to this minor league ballpark and not having to pay anything. And there's no guarantees yet with the stadium in Vegas. And it's like, yeah, it does make you look all bad. I think one of his sources said it makes us all look bad. Absolutely it does. But like, you are the ones that approved this. Every owner approved this move to Vegas without any details of the stadium and funding. And it's still all a mess. And that's why I think Sacramento jumped in and was like, you know, maybe this Vegas thing doesn't actually end up happening. They'll end up in Sacramento. Who knows? It's still so up in the air. So I just think baseball, the owners, the commissioner, they've gotten so greedy, and they feel like they can take advantage of the fans. And I think they're at a point where they're close to pushing too far, where, you know, baseball's not the most popular sport in America anymore, not by a long shot. You look at the ratings and they're struggling, I think, especially to get younger viewers. And this doesn't help. I mean, to me, I understand that every professional sport is a business, but right now Major League Baseball is like doing dirty business and people are taking notice, and fans from all over, I think, are, I mean, you can see how unpopular Rob Manfred is, not just in Oakland, but he's hated across the country. So I don't know. I think Major League Baseball is making a lot of short-sighted decisions.
We're talking with Ben Ross here of Associated Press and the Pac-12 Network, and also a contributor here on Bay Area Sports Wrap. And we're talking about the A's going to Sacramento next season. And, you know, we've had owners in other leagues that were forced to sell their teams because whether there was sexual harassment, just regular harassment in the workplace, or racism. You know, these are character flaws, right? That you know, led to hostile work environments and bad business, right? So why can't the Major League Baseball owners get together and with Rob Manfred and force John Fisher to sell this team, because everything he's doing with this is making the entire MLB look bad, not just his organization, but the entire league. He should be forced to sell because of this, making, you're going to take the team that's in a top 10 market and generating revenue, and now you're going to send them to Las Vegas. That's what, the 31st, 32nd market?
30th, I think. Yeah. So
it just doesn't make any sense to me that you know, he continues to have the ownership when he should be forced to sell this.
I'm 100% with you. And I think the answer to that question, why they don't do it, is because kind of what I was talking about before, like, their other owners see this as an opportunity to do this to their own cities. And they know they're going to want new stadiums at some point, and they're going to want a lot of taxpayer money to help them. And so they don't want to set a precedent where an owner can be removed or forced to sell just by being greedy, because they all are greedy. Now, John Fisher is, I think, a different level of incompetent than most owners, but I think in a lot of ways, and I'm with you. I mean, I think most owners off the record would admit they don't like John Fisher, and they don't like how he runs things, and they don't like having to share revenue with him, and they think he's inept and bad for the league. But at the same time, I don't think they want to force him out, because that sets the precedent that any owner could be forced to sell by running their franchise poorly, which, or by, you know, demanding taxpayer money or demanding a new stadium. And I think a lot of them have that plan themselves, so they don't want to set that precedent.
Gotcha. And, you know, it's funny because John Fisher and Vivek Ranadive are friends, right? And it almost seems like this was a backdoor type of deal that was made. Is there any possibility that John Fisher says, you know what, I think I'll sell you the team, Vivek, and you can move the team to Sacramento, keep them there? Do you think there's any possible chance that happens?
I think that's what Vivek is hoping. I think that's what Sacramento is hoping. I mean, I don't think that's likely, but it's not impossible. I think Sacramento, in their eyes, number one, they're looking at it as an audition to show Major League Baseball that they deserve an expansion team at some point. But number two, like, yeah, I mean, like I said, this Las Vegas thing is not a done deal. I mean, there's a lot of questions still, and they haven't figured, you know, we don't know about the funding yet. So if that doesn't work out and they're in Sacramento, I think Vivek is hoping, like, well, they're already here. I'm friends with John Fisher. Sell me the team. We'll build a new stadium in Sacramento. Now, again, I think there are other people that want to buy the team too. I mean, I think Joe Lacob would love to buy this team, and there's other people in the Bay Area that would love to buy this team and are better at business than John Fisher is, and could, and see how profitable, you know, the Oakland A's could be in Oakland, in the 10th biggest market in the country. So I don't know. I don't know how likely it is, even if Vivek were to buy. You know, we've seen how long these processes take to build a new stadium. Who knows if Sacramento is able to get all the public funding that they need. You know, that's still far from a sure thing. And, you know, at that point, how long are the A's going to be playing in a minor league stadium? I mean, right now the plan is 3 or 4 years. Could that turn into 6 or 7? I don't think there's any chance the Players Association goes for that. So, yeah, I think it's possible, but I still think that would be rather unlikely.
All right, we're joined by Ben Ross here on Bay Area Sports Wrap. And Ben, unfortunately, over the offseason, the Padres' beloved owner, Peter Seidler, had passed away. The reason I bring up his name is because I understand, wasn't he trying to actually get a bunch of owners together to vote no against the A's proposed move to Las Vegas?
Yeah, that's what the reporting, or some of the reporting, was. And, you know, that goes back to my point about what, you know, the tweet we saw from Buster Olney talking about how teams were frustrated and pissed off about how this was going, how the A's were doing this. And it's, again, it's like, I just don't understand how the owners, how he couldn't find a couple of owners that looked at this deal and saw all the problems with it. And not just the problems, but the lack of information, the lack of detail in this new stadium plan in Las Vegas. To approve it with so little information, I felt, was ridiculous, irresponsible, and, you know, not just greedy, but bad for the owners. Like, we're seeing now, they're bad for the players, bad for everyone involved, how this is going. I mean, you've got a team now that's going to play in this minor league stadium, which, again, Don't get me wrong, I like the ballpark in Sacramento. For fans, it's great. For players, on the other hand, I've been in those clubhouses. They are small. There's a lack of amenities that even the Coliseum has. And so, I mean, that you got the clubhouses also out in center fields. They're not even connected to the dugouts. You're talking about the heat in Sacramento. There's a lot of issues and a lot of upgrades they're going to need to make. So I'm sort of rambling here from the original question. But, yeah, this is all stuff the owners should have been considering when they approved this deal, and I don't know why more of them didn't.
Hey, this is Mark Kotze, manager of the Oakland Athletics, and you're watching Bay Area Sports Wrap.
I mean, leaving apart a little bit of history, being a Northern California kid, growing up, seeing the A's, seeing the Giants, going to see them and playing at the Coliseum in high school, it's going to be, a downer for baseball, especially if you see the retired numbers up there. You see Henderson, you see McGuire, Canseco, Eckersley. There's a lot of history in the Oakland Coliseum. So, it's shocking. It's one of those things that I know Sacramento is on the rise as top five, top six grossing city, and they've been asking for even an MLS team with them. So it's a growing city, and it's good for them. It's good for their economy and to get it going. I'm kind of mixed a little bit just because, as a baseball fan, it being in the Oakland Coliseum, it's very much so a historical place. And but at the same time, it is what it is.
It's funny you mentioned that, Ben, as a follow-up to that. When the Giants played at the old Polo Grounds, the clubhouses were in center field. In fact, that's why there's famous footage of the players when they played their last game against the Pittsburgh Pirates in 1957 to a crowd of about 11,000 announced. They're running from the fans heading to center field because that's where the clubhouses were located. I mean, come on, we're going backwards here, right? That's 67 years ago that the Giants were in New York? I mean, this is really going backwards. And a lot of players have said, too, that they don't want to play in Sacramento because when the Toronto Blue Jays played in their AAA facility in Buffalo, and they made upgrades, of course, the players themselves said they did not feel like Major League Baseball players, no matter how much you upgraded the facilities.
Totally. Totally. I mean, yeah, you feel for these players who have worked their entire lives to make the major leagues. And it's like, congratulations, you got called up from AAA. You're still playing in a AAA ballpark, which, again, nothing against the ballpark in Sacramento. It is a great AAA ballpark, and it's great for fans. But when it comes to player amenities, it's not major league standard, and there's a lot of issues with it. That also goes to the point of, we think the A's are bad now and having trouble signing free agents. Nobody's going to sign with the A's over the next few years. They're going to be awful. And I understand why people in Sacramento would be excited to go – not necessarily see the A's, but see other major league players. I mean, it sounds like even John Fisher isn't excited to see the A's there. He's excited to see Aaron Judge clobber home runs off his team. For the players themselves, it's not going to be a good experience. And, for 3 or 4 years, that's a long time. You could see it maybe for 1 year they can deal with it. 3 or 4 years at least, that's a long time to be playing in a minor league facility.
Yeah, before I turn it back to Marco here, I wanted to show this to our audience. I actually own an original 1968 Oakland A's jersey. And what's special about this jersey is it says, in really nice lettering, with which the A's used currently today, Oakland on the front. I find it ridiculous how they're not even going to have a city to identify by. They're just calling themselves the Athletics or the A's. I mean, how can anybody sign off on that? One more thing here. I'll read this little passage from the A's first year yearbook. It says here, in addressing the crowd of a lunch at a luncheon 600 at a civic banquet in his honor, the A's owner Charlie Finley said, "Our goal is to bring a championship team to Oakland as quickly as possible. We are proud of Oakland and want the people to know where we are from. The word Oakland is displayed on the front of all the A's uniforms, including the traveling uniform." Pretty telling, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. What was also telling to me is, one of the quotes from Vivek Ranadive was that Sacramento is not going to play second fiddle to any other city. And it's like, man, they're not even giving the city name to you, right? You're just the Athletics. You're literally a stopover. You're literally playing second fiddle to Las Vegas, and they won't even call. Now, we'll see, because there were those reports that the A's have trademarked Sacramento Athletics and Sacramento A's. But yeah, I mean, it's all a mess. And I laughed out loud when I saw that they wouldn't have a city name and they were just going to go by the A's or the Athletics. I'm like, first of all, isn't there already the Athletic? Like, is Ken Rosenthal going to start playing for the A's? but, you know, it's all just, it would be funny if it wasn't so sad. You know, it's just, it's a mess.
Yeah, and you talk about, you know, what they're going to need to do to upgrade Sutter Health Park. You know, I'm looking at where they got to connect those clubhouses to the dugout. That's going to be pretty costly, and especially here in California. There's nothing cheap here in California, especially construction costs and materials. Yeah. I mean, this looks like about at least a $2 to $3 million upgrade. And are they going to be able to do that? Even if they were to start doing it like next week, could they have that done in time for the 25 season? I don't see that happening.
No, I mean, here's the thing. I don't see them. I think they can make some small upgrades. I don't see them being able to connect the clubhouses to the dugout. I think that's just going to be something that they're going to have to deal with. Now, as far as maybe additional locker room space or improving batting cages, or, I mean, who knows? There's a whole number of things that Major League Baseball players are accustomed to having for their routines. And so I think they'll maybe be able to do a bit of that. I mean, we know John Fisher is cheap, but he is also getting an absolute bargain of a deal, not paying any rent reportedly in Sacramento. So he's playing there for free. So maybe he actually would spend a couple $1 million for upgrades just because the Players Association is going to demand it. And as you said earlier, we don't know for sure they're going to approve this. I would imagine they probably will, as long as they get some of the upgrades they need, but it's still not going to be a pleasant playing experience for the players. And the other thing that people forget is, like, you know, one of the things we talked about with Las Vegas and why it wouldn't work to play in their AAA ballpark is the heat in Las Vegas. I mean, Sacramento is pretty hot in the summer too. I've worked there, and, you know, it's regularly triple digits. I've been there when it's like 115 degrees. I mean, so that could be an issue too, especially when you don't, when you've got the clubhouses out in center field, and I don't know. And then that doesn't even take into account how they're screwing over the River Cats. You know, their actual, as you said, the Giants AAA team that plays there, like, to balance two schedules of two teams there, there's already been reports that maybe the River Cats are going to play some of their games in San Francisco or in Oakland. I mean, who the hell knows? It's like there's more questions every answer we get. There's more questions. It's all such a mess.
Yeah, and you mentioned about the heat, and yeah, in the summertime it gets triple digits over there. I mean, my parents live a half hour east of Sacramento, and I remember whenever I go and visit them in the summertime, it's clearly over 100 degrees. You don't get the Delta breeze like you do in some areas over there, and they would have to start games like after 8 o'clock over there. Yeah. And because of the heat, can't see any of these players wanting to play in the AAA ballpark and playing at 100 degree heat when it's, you know, 6:45 or 7 o'clock still at that time, and it's still 102 degrees there.
Or day games. I mean, that's the thing, is you can say, I mean, I think in the minors, they just play all night games in the summer in Sacramento. But like, you look at the major league schedule, right? There's getaway days during the week where they play day games. Every game on Sunday is a 1 o'clock or, you know, an afternoon start. Like, I don't know how they're going to, I mean, as you said, players are not going to want to do that, especially with the lack of amenities.
Yeah, Ben, just curious to switch gears here for a minute about the team itself. We're talking about how the A's, as we're recording this, are playing the Tigers in Detroit off to a 3-0 lead in the sixth inning.
Yeah, I was about to check that.
Yeah.
Paul Blackburn, man. Paul Blackburn's actually off to a phenomenal start this year.
Yeah. Well, my question to you is this, too. The A's look like they actually made some upgrades. They've got three former Giants on the team this year. They've got pitchers Alex Wood and Ross Stripling, and they've got slugger third baseman J.D. Davis. I mean, given that, I'm kind of surprised the A's actually look like they made some upgrades.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. I think they will be better than last year, and that's not saying a lot because they were historically bad last year. I still expect them to, you know, possibly lose 100 games or close to it. But you're right. I mean, look, they did make actually a couple of upgrades. What I What I don't love about it is, if you're looking at this from a purely baseball standpoint, and again, they should have never torn apart the core that they had recently. They should have been adding to that, trying to actually win a World Series. But we are where we are right now. This is now officially a rebuild, right? What I don't understand is, you're rebuilding. You're trying to get these young prospects you have experience. Why are you not playing them every day? I don't necessarily love the idea of signing guys, you know, like, nothing against J.D. Davis, but I don't know how he helps the A's improve their rebuild, or Abraham Toro, or these sort of veteran guys who are journeymen. Why are you sending Estuary Ruiz to the minor leagues? I understand he has things to work on, but even last year they didn't play him every day. Play the guy every day. Let him get experience. That goes for Zach Geloff and Lawrence Butler and all the young future stars potentially that they have. That's what you do in a rebuild. You got guys have to go through their ups and downs and play every day. So I don't exactly know why they're kind of half doing it and playing these journeymen in between.
Well, real quick, didn't Ruiz get sent down because he was wearing a wristband from last dive bar supporting the protests and the boycotts?
That's one of the – yeah, I mean, that's the conspiracy theory. Honestly, I don't know if I believe that one. I really don't. Look, I would never put anything past the A's and John Fisher. They're petty. So I'm not ruling it out completely. I just personally don't believe it. You look at Brett Rooker, he's now playing. I think there are actual concerns to Estuary Ruiz's game at the plate. He has things to work on. But to me, I don't see why he can't do that at the big league level. This is a guy who got off to a hot start. I watched him all of last year. He was on my fantasy team. He's a solid hitter with – obviously great speed. And here's the thing. He stole 67 bases last year. He would have stolen probably 80 or 90 if they played him every day. By the end of the season, he wasn't even playing that much, which again goes back to my point. Why not? Play your young guys every day. Let them get that experience.
And how do you send a guy down that's batting .429?
Yeah, I mean, again, I know it's a small sample size, but literally the day before, I think he was 2-for-4 with a triple and a stolen base. Like, what are we doing here? I mean, and again, there's so many guys. Like, I feel bad for Mark Kotze because he's in a no-win situation. But when you start saying stuff like he's got to get on base more, and like he's getting on base more than everybody else on the team, so that doesn't make any sense.
Right. It's interesting you bring up Mark Kotze, the manager of the A's, who I just don't think he should be there. I think he's a lame duck manager. You look how well this team had more errors and runs at one point going into this weekend, and you know, I just think that he really does not know what he's doing up there with these lineups. As far as when he says stuff like this guy needs to get on base more. So, I mean, does he survive after this season? Because I can't see why they would want to keep him after this season.
You know, I have a hard time with this because it's such a terrible situation to be in. I don't want to judge his performance too much. I just don't know what he has to gain out of this. Like, I understand at first this is his first major league managing job, but at some point, like, I don't know, if I'm him, I feel like I'm better off stepping down and going to like an organization that's not dysfunctional, even if it's being a bench coach or, you know, some other hitting coach or whatever it might be, and then hope you get an opportunity somewhere else down the line. I just think, yeah, to me, the A's are a sinking ship and I would have been off it long ago. And to me, I don't want to judge people for still working there because that's their livelihood, but I would have been out of there a long time ago. That is not an organization you want to work for.
Ben, before I toss it back to Marco, but as we wrap up here, I don't know if you follow the A's, and of course they're doing such a wacky job, not only in the front office but with promotions. Do you know what the A's promotion is for the last game of the season?
I believe is it a replica Coliseum giveaway?
Yep, you know it. You just talk about how, you know, one more thing too. The A's years ago had a promotion. Roger Clemens was pitching for the Toronto Blue Jays. I actually went to this game because it was such a silly promotion. Apparently, if Roger Clemens struck out 10 or more A's, you got a free ticket to an upcoming A's game. So that's just like, this is the predecessor of John Fisher, you know, wanting opposing players to hit home runs out of Sutter Health Park. What is wrong with the A's? Why would you promote something like that? I mean, that is like, you want to talk about digging salt into the wound, or just rubbing it in your face. That's got to be the biggest insult I can think of, to give away a replica ballpark on the last game you're ever going to play in Oakland.
Hey, man, the A's have been nothing if not consistent in being tone deaf And just, yeah, I understand what they're trying to do, but guys, that ship has sailed. You have spit on every fan you have. You can't just be like, we're going to honor you guys now, this our last year. Like, no, God, we're not stupid. You know, you just go. It's embarrassing. I don't even have words for it. So they leave me speechless sometimes.
Well, you can't spell the word dysfunction without the letter A and S in it. So that's what we've learned. That's what we've been accustomed to. And it's just a shame that that's how it's going to end this season after 57 years in the city of Oakland. Ben, thank you so much for coming on to Bay Area Sports Wrap and talking about this. Follow Ben on X at is it Ben Ross Tweets.
Ben Ross Tweets. Yeah, I haven't changed it to Ben Ross X. It's still, yeah. Still Twitter to me.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I can't believe that I was convinced by a colleague of mine to give Elon his $84 for the year, which I did. I got the little blue check mark now, so I don't know. I mean, I think I'm kind of getting ripped off here, but we'll make it work because I can do things like add more video and, you know, unlimited video, etc. So, but
that's true.
Aside from that, Ben, we look forward to seeing you at the ballpark, whether it's in Oakland or San Francisco, and keep up the great work.
Yeah. Appreciate it. Thanks for having me, you guys. Always good to talk.
And follow him and check out his coverage on the Associated Press and check him out calling games on the Pac-12 Network. Thanks again, Ben.
Yep. Thank you. My pleasure.